Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. Rather than reading the whole chapter, we're going to jump in just a little while in verse 17 and take it as it comes, 17 through the end of the chapter. But I want you to keep your Bibles open before you as we look at this very unusual account in the context of a war. Before we dive into this narrative, let's look to God in prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the table that you have laid out for us this morning. We pray as we approach this table, we will do so in the full knowledge of the kind of invitation that you've given to us this day as believers. Lord, help us through the work of your Spirit to understand your word this morning. Lord, may we respond with obedience and faith and love. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Most any year in your mailbox or in your email box, you'll receive one or more special dinner invitations. Maybe to a rehearsal supper, fundraiser event, an awards dinner, surprise birthday meal. All special invitations, to be sure. But no invitation is as special as when we're invited to the Lord's table to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Now, what we're about to dive into in just a moment, it doesn't read like your typical meal invitation. Nevertheless, as we work our way through verses 17 through 24 in this narrative, we'll discover four features of a supper invitation to a meal celebrating something so significant that if what we're celebrating this morning did not happen, we are totally, completely, absolutely, sadly without hope. We cannot overestimate the importance of the Lord's Supper. So let's look now at the features of this invitation here in this narrative. Notice in the first place, the first feature of this supper invitation has to do with the location. Now, as you know, dinner invitations include a venue, a location for the dinner. Now, this meal mentioned in Genesis 14 happens on a field of war and in the context of victory. I'm going to give you the context of Genesis 14. If you read the remainder of the chapter, which I'd encourage you to do, Genesis 14 describes for us a series of battles between two groups of kings. And during those battles, an army captures Abram's nephew, a man by the name of Lot, who you've heard of. Lot was living in Sodom. Now, when Abram learns that his nephew Lot has been captured, I guess you could say he believes there's a lot at stake. So Abram, with an army of only 318 men, captures the armies of four kings. And Abraham succeeds in a daring rescue of Lot. So now let's pick up the story in verse 17. After his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Sheba, that is the king's valley. As we approach the Lord's table today, we are well aware of the reality of living in a fallen world. Now, I want you to think bigger than this Middle Eastern conflict here in Genesis 14. I want you to think of the reality of living in a fallen world. If you tried to live a Christian life in this fallen world, you know this world is not a playground. This world is a battlefield. And we are at war every day with the devil. with evil forces in our culture who want to attack us and capture us and take away our faith. Now, this meal we're about to partake in happens in a safe space. It's called Lakeland Presbyterian Church, located, though, in a spiritual battlefield. In the context of a spiritual war against believers. A war I think you would agree is getting more and more intense with each passing day. This war is given an insight in Ephesians chapter 6. Let me read it to you. Ephesians 6:12, he says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness. We war against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." So yes, we should be concerned. We should be very concerned. But the good news today is this. When our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross we are reminded of every Sunday morning when we walk into this building, in a victory far greater than Abram's rescue of Lot, Jesus single-handedly fought the devil, and he fought the devil's army of billions of demons. And Jesus defeated and disarmed hell's army. Again, let me take you to another commentary, this from Colossians. Let me just read this to you. In Colossians chapter 2, it says, on the cross, Jesus disarmed the rulers and authorities. This is Colossians 2:15. And put them to open shame by triumphing over them. So yes, this supper happens in the context of spiritual warfare. Warfare that we're in. But, the Lord's Supper is a victory celebration. See, for descendants of Abraham's children, that would be you if you're in Christ, Jesus' death defeated the devil. And while the devil may be a lion ravaging our country and our culture, if you're a Christian, the devil's a toothless lion. The enemy of our soul, no doubt about it, he was routed on the cross. And one day this enemy and his army, according to Revelation, will be thrown into a lake of fire and destroyed forever. So as you take the Lord's Supper, by all means, let's celebrate the victory that the death of Christ has achieved for us. This is a victory celebration. Notice in the second place, the second feature of this supper invitation has to do not only with the location. We said location is on a battlefield where victory is guaranteed. But the second feature is the meal. Let's look at verse 18. "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine." Sometimes inscribed on your dinner invite, you have a couple of entree options from which to choose. The entree here is a covenant meal of bread and wine. And in the Old Testament, you solemnized a covenant with a meal of bread and wine. What is a covenant? It's what happens when two parties are bound together in a relationship of commitment. See, the bread and wine here in Genesis 14 is for us a preview of a coming attraction in the Gospels, when the Lord Jesus Christ Himself would take bread and wine as symbolic reminders to us, reminders that Jesus is bound to us forever. Why? Because His body, represented by the bread, was broken underneath the weight of our sin. The hymn writer says, "In my place condemned he stood." Jesus' blood poured out like wine for the forgiveness of our sin. When we see the bread and wine this morning, when we take the bread and wine, you know what we're doing? We're internalizing a covenant meal. A meal reminding us of the eternal bond in blood that has been graciously administered to us through the death of Jesus on the cross. You know, in your life, in my life, we may attend a number of awards meals celebrating significant milestones in people's lives. But this meal reminds us of something with eternal significance. This meal celebrates not only Christ's victory over the devil, this meal celebrates our covenant with God. This amazing relationship that God has brought us into through the work of Jesus Christ, a relationship that has no expiration date. So we have the location, we have the meal. The third feature is this. Third feature of this supper invitation is the host. Look at verse 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." There's your host. Now, some of you may or may not recognize the name Jonathan Goldsmith. Does that ring a bell in your memory in any way? Well, from 2006 to 2018, this bearded, older, debonair gentleman was best known as the world's most interesting man. You may remember those commercials. Well, what we have here in this narrative is one of the most interesting, fascinating, mysterious characters in the entire Bible. The man's name is Melchizedek, and he appears, his name appears elsewhere in the Bible, but Melchizedek himself appears only one time in the Bible, right here in Genesis 14. Now, what do we know about Melchizedek from this narrative? Well, we know Melchizedek's name means King of Righteousness. It says right here in the text, he's king of Salem, a word meaning peace, also known later as Jerusalem. So Melchizedek was known as the King of Righteousness and the King of Peace. Now something else we discover in this account. Melchizedek here is identified, did you notice this? As priest of God Most High. Notice that. He was, in parentheses there in verse 18, he was priest of God Most High. We also know that Melchizedek brought Abram a message about God. Said something about God there. And that's what a prophet does. A prophet reveals truth to people about God. So, what do? Connect the dots. Melchizedek, a king of peace, a priest of God, a prophet revealing truth about God. No, Melchizedek is not a pre-incarnate Jesus. Here's what Melchizedek is. He is a movie trailer. He is a preview of the coming blockbuster attraction that is Jesus Christ. Melchizedek is an Old Testament preview pointing us to Jesus. Jesus who is our prophet, priest, and king. You see, ultimately the host of the most significant meal there is Jesus our prophet. He is the revelation of God. You want to know what God's like? Then read the four portraits of Jesus in the Gospels. Jesus is our priest, our pontifex. That word in Latin means bridge builder. He's the only bridge connecting sinful people like us to a holy God. Apart from that bridge, We have no connection with God. And this host is our King. He brings us peace because Jesus is our peace. We have peace with God through the death of Jesus. And we look forward to the future one day when Jesus will defeat His and our enemies, all of them. And one day we will enjoy nothing but peace in the new heavens and new earth. So we see the location. We see the meal. We see the host. There's one last feature here, and that's this. Fourth feature of this supper invitation is the RSVP, the response. Formal dinner invitation, ask for response. Call this number for regrets only. Send in this card. Call this number to secure a spot at supper. However you respond, an RSVP is a call for you to respond to this, to an invitation. So how do we respond to this invitation? Well, look at verses 19 and 20. And he blessed them and said, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." One way we respond to this invitation is by blessing the Lord, who has blessed us by His grace. You notice there that through the death of Jesus, our enemy, the devil, he's a defeated foe. He awaits his final eternal execution. And the one who has lived and died for us is the second member of the Trinity. He is the possessor, that is, he is the creator, he's the sustainer. He owns everything there is. He is God Most High. And so what we do here is that we praise this triune God for creation, for redemption, for the victory we have in Jesus. The Lord deserves our praise always. So that's one way we RSVP today. We praise God for what He's done, for how He's delivered us in the ultimate battle. But also, another response is this: we dedicate ourselves to the Lord. Look at verse 20. The last part of verse 20. And Abram gave a tenth of everything. Now, I want you to notice here, the tithe, it's not an Old Testament law thing. Remember, Melchizedek is identified as a priest serving God. And as an act of worship, Abram gave a tenth of everything, a tenth of all his possessions, to the work of the Lord. And friends, when we appreciate how the Lord has delivered us from sin, how the Lord has delivered us from Satan, our thank you note to the Lord is a response of generosity. We give to the work of the Lord. Listen, redeemed people give to the Lord's work. Let me say that again. Redeemed people give to the Lord's work. Period. Full stop. End of discussion. But also, another way we respond, besides praising and blessing God, besides dedicating ourselves to God and showing that through what we give, another response is this: we reject partnership with God's enemies. Notice you have the king of Salem, but in verse 21, the king of Sodom said to Abraham, "Give me the persons, but take the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted my hand to the Lord Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. I will take nothing but what the young men have eaten and the share of the men who went with me." Friends, as long as you live, God's enemies are going to want to make deals with you. God's enemies will want to partner with you. Abram's answer, our answer to God's enemies, is a hard pass. You know, James, the half-brother of Jesus, warns us. Remember this warning from James? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of this fallen world, that person, by choosing to be a friend of this fallen world, is choosing to be an enemy of God. It's pretty clear cut. I can assure you, within the next 24 to 48 hours after leaving this service this morning, you will be tempted, somehow, some way, to compromise your Christian convictions. You will. Don't. Remember who your real friend is, Jesus, and the power that God's Holy Spirit provides. Just say no. So there's the invitation, right there. The location is here today in the middle of a battlefield. Victory is guaranteed because of Jesus. The meal is the bread and the cup, reminding us of what Jesus has done for us to secure our salvation, to establish an everlasting covenant with us. The host is Jesus, our prophet, priest, and king. The RSVP is for us to receive this morning, this communion, God's blessings, to praise God, to dedicate ourselves to the Lord, and to reject, leave this place and reject making deals with this fallen world. Friends, would have never thought it looking at this, but this is indeed a most special invitation. Let's pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, what an encouragement the Lord's Supper is. That even while we battle, victory is ours, victory in Jesus. Lord, as we take the bread and cup, may we be reminded of the love and lengths you've gone to bring us into covenant with you. Lord, help us to remember Jesus, our prophet, priest, and king, is our host at this meal. Help us to receive what is before us with grateful, humble hearts, to praise you, to dedicate ourselves to you, and to understand what you've given us, so we will reject what this fallen world offers us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.